the little ones go. If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn to the book of Luke. We're going to be in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 5, in just a moment. President Lincoln was told by an associate, he said, "I'm very anxious that the Lord should be on our side." He was concerned during the Civil War. "I hope the Lord's on our side." And Mr. Lincoln, he said, "That doesn't trouble me in the least." He said, "What's more important is if I'm on the Lord's side. Not him on my side, but if I'm on the Lord's side." And you know, that's really the point to this all. God loves everybody, but not everybody loves God. And so for us, that's where we want to be in our lives, is that we love God and we want to follow him and his leading and direction. And this morning we're going to look at this book in Luke, and we're going to see some different folks there. We're going to see the religious right. We're going to see someone who's paralyzed, a paralyzed person, if you will. We're going to see some faithful friends. We all need faithful friends, okay? And then we're also going to see the mighty Messiah. And as we look at this, I've entitled this message, and you've seen it in your bulletin probably already, "Arise and Walk." And this morning, I want to challenge every person in this room to arise and to walk in the situation that you're in right now, not to stand up and go out. Next thing you know, everybody will be following out of church. But as we study this, when we leave this place today, I want you to take it to heart that God has something for you and something for me to do. If you would, go ahead and stand. So arise, but please don't walk. And in Luke chapter 5, I want you to find verse 17. And this is also recorded in Matthew, and it's recorded in Mark. It is not recorded in John. And again, remember, why is that? Anybody remember that big word that we talk about? Synoptic. Who said that? Synoptic is the word. It means seeing together. The first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all of those are seeing together. John is a little bit different, the gospel is. But it's all through John's eyes as the Lord has revealed to him, just like all these books are. So anyway, let's begin reading verse 17. You follow along, please, in your Bible. It says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today." Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for all those that are in attendance. I pray now that you would help each one of us as we share from your word, these things. Help me to be clear. Help me to share everything that is right and true. And Father, I pray now you just guide and direct in each one of our hearts. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So first we're going to see the religious right. And the religious right here in verse 17, these are the scribes and the Pharisees, okay? And they've come, and the reason they have come is to authenticate or validate who Jesus is. As you know, as you study the Bible, many of you have went through the Bible many times and have gone through the Gospels, and you have seen over and over that the Pharisees or the religious crowd were the ones who were out to get Jesus. Isn't that funny? It's the religious crowd that are the ones out to get Jesus. Sometimes we have to think about that, and we can see that still in our society. But nonetheless, and he was the one, when Jesus spoke to these people, especially as we go through the Gospels, the farther we get, he speaks harshly to those people. And he calls them and talks about them being whited sepulchers. And so the fact is, as we look at this today, we're seeing these folks, and this is at the beginning of his ministry, they have come to see Jesus. Verse 17, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, and there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Those are interesting words. So what we see here is that Jesus, his ministry there was to really demonstrate that he could do these miracles to validate himself as who? The Messiah or God. That's why he did the miracles when he walked on this earth for those 3 years, was to demonstrate that and show people so they would see that he was different from any other human being. And he was, because he is God. So here the religious right have come to see him. The Pharisees, they were the separatists. They were the ones who oversaw the keeping of the law. They wanted to make sure that everybody dotted their I's and crossed their T's. Yet, they added to the law and made the law of none effect, the Bible teaches us. And so often they would do that, and they put these burdens on the children of Israel, and they never really understood or could not see Jesus Christ. And we know there are reasons for that as well. But here they came, and they were watching, and they were trying to find out what Jesus was going to do. Now, the scribes, they're the doctors of the law. They're the ones who teach the law. And they were there as well, and they wanted to validate what Jesus was teaching to see if he would be teaching those things that are right. And in Mark chapter 2, it actually tells us that Jesus was preaching. So preaching, teaching, and he was healing the people. And that's what he was there to do that day. So he was healing them, but he was also trying to share with them the things of God. Again, we see that is so important because that's, again, an illustration for us how we are to help others. We're trying to help others by doing something physical that may help them or help guide them or direct them. But we also want to make sure we also give them the Word of God. They need to go together. You really don't want to do them apart in the sense that you want to demonstrate this is because of God. What I'm doing to help a person is because I love the Lord. Okay? And again, that's Jesus is there and he's demonstrating this for us today. And here Luke writes, he says, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I believe that that was not just the people that were following him, but also the Pharisees. They had an opportunity there watching Jesus to be healed that day. Now, their ailment was not a physical ailment. It was a spiritual one. So Jesus, he's not only trying to minister to the physical, but he's also trying to minister to the spiritual. And that's what he's doing. And that's what he does the whole time of his 3 years while he's walking on this earth and ministering. And Matthew 28, 18 tells us, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You know who that me is talking about? The one who said those words, Jesus Christ. So again, as we think about the power of the Lord was present to heal them, also not only was the power of the Lord present, but the Lord was with them. God was right there with them. And he was sharing in this house. John chapter 3, verse 35 says, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. John 10, 30, I and the Father are one. So the things that Jesus was doing, the miracles, as he was demonstrating acts of compassion, but he was also authenticating the fact that he was the Messiah, that he was God, and the religious right were there watching him with a critical spirit to see what he was going to do. So here we see the picture. You have the understanding that he's in a house. We don't know exactly which house it is. We know he's in Capernaum, because it says he went back to his own town in one of the passages. So he's in Capernaum, he's in a house, and there's a multitude of people there, and the Pharisees are there as well watching, and Jesus is actually in the house, and so the Pharisees and many people are as well. So then in verse 18 it says, behold, men brought a bed, a in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. They sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. So here's a man that is paralyzed. He's sick. He is unable to get out of his bed. Anybody ever been in that condition? Yeah. It's not a good condition to be in, right? He couldn't do anything for himself. He was physically disabled. He was beyond the doctor's help. He was in a situation that he was helpless, he was hopeless, and he was hindered, okay? And that's what happens for us. In everybody on the face of this earth, before they ever come to know Christ as their Savior, their spiritual condition is the same as described as this paralyzed man. The very same. When I was lost, I was paralyzed by my sin. I was unable to cure my condition. I was couldn't do anything to help myself or others. I was spiritually disabled. In other words, I had no communication with God. I had no power in my life other than the physical power that I had, and that was it. And I was just like this paralyzed person. I was helpless, hopeless, and hindered. I was helpless, and James 1:15 says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." That was my condition. I was on the way to a fiery hell. Pastor, don't say that. Well, the Bible talks about it. Jesus talks about it. And I want to tell you something. It's a literal place. And the Lord does not want you to go there. And neither do I. But that's my condition. That's where I was at that time in my life. I was hopeless. Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I remember as a kid, I believed in God. He's out there somewhere. I had no idea who he was. I believed that he made the earth, and I believed he made the trees and all that stuff. But I guess I was naive. But I didn't know who he was. It wasn't until I got saved in October, coming up my birthday again, 26, 1992, that I really understood who God was. And that changed my life forever. See, because then I was hindered, Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. I understood for the first time that I, Bruce Townsend, was lost, and I deserved to go to this place called hell, and I didn't want to go there. And I understood for the first time, understood and believed with all my heart, that Jesus died on the cross for me. He shed his blood for Bruce Townsend. And that night, I called on God, excuse me, more specific, Jesus Christ, and asked him to save me. And you know what he did? He saved me. That's right. And I haven't been the same since. And as the preachers always say, I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm a lot better than I was. And the fact is, amen. That is the condition of this paralyzed man, physically and spiritually. He's in that same condition. And he's coming, and he's coming to this place. Now, we have no idea if he told his friends, "Hey guys, I really want to go see that Jesus." Nowhere in the story that we're going to read ever even indicates that. That's an important point to make. But let's go on. We see these faithful friends. Look at verse 19. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. You see, this sick man, he needed some help. He was dependent on others. He couldn't do anything for himself. He was completely surrendered to his friend's desires. Again, we don't know what his thoughts were or his idea about Jesus or any of this. We don't even know that he heard of Jesus. But we do know that these friends did. We know that because we'll see that as we go. And so here was four guys, and I don't know if one guy said to the guy that was sick of the palsy said, "Hey, you know what? I've heard about this man, Jesus, and I've heard he can do miracles. And let's go and talk to the other three and get them going." Says, "Come on, guys. We got to do something. I mean, come on. What's, you know, we just got to carry him over there. It's no big deal. Let's do this. This is important." And of course, when they get there, they see the multitude. They can't get in the door. Nobody's spreading apart and saying, hey, let the sick guy in. Why? Because they're all sick. If not physically, they were sick with sin. And so what did they do? Well, they turned around and said, we can't do this. We're going to go home. I'm sorry. We tried. We gave it our best shot. I wonder how many Christians do that today. I gave it my best shot. How many times or how often do we tell people about Jesus Christ? Are we really on board with that? Do we see the desire and the need to do that like these four guys did? I mean, this is a big thing. I mean, carrying a guy on a stretcher or a couch. He said couch here. And then they can't get in. So instead of turning around, I don't know if just one of them said it. Let's assume they all said it. Said, hey, let's go try the roof. Now, roofs were different, okay, back then. Generally flat, like he said, tiles. In this case, in another one of the other accounts, it says they broke up the tiles. I think the fact is they went up there, they removed the tiles. And I can imagine there's people in the house, and you're sitting there, Jesus is talking, all of a sudden you're starting to see some sunshine coming through. You're starting to see these tiles starting to move, and you're thinking, what's going on up there? Well, there are four men that have a love for their friend so strong that they know he needs to see Jesus. Do we have friends, family members, people around us that need to see Jesus? Every one of us right now would say yes. But they didn't give up. They saw the need, and they had to make a difference in this fellow's life. And they, you know, I don't know that they knew. I feel like they have confidence. They had faith. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8 says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. That's a promise from Jesus Christ himself. And that's exactly what these guys are doing. They're going, man, we're going to go knock. We're going to go open. We're seeking Jesus. And they take him on the roof. They open the tiles. And I guess, forethought, I don't know. They must have had some rope. I'm thinking, I don't know though, maybe not. Maybe the ceiling's only 6 foot high. I don't know. But they lowered him down before Jesus. Jesus is standing here. He's teaching all these people. Commotion on the roof. They're looking up. I'm just imagining this. It doesn't say any of this. And you're looking up. And all of a sudden comes this bed out of the sky. Levitating by four friends' help, of course. And he comes down. He's right there in front of Jesus. That, again, demonstrates the love these fellows had for their friend and the belief they had in the Lord Jesus Christ. That they could make a difference in somebody else's life. Now, maybe they had even seen Jesus before. Maybe they had already seen the miracles and understood and had already put their faith and trust in the fact that Jesus could do these things. We don't know all that, but we know they were determined. We know that they were sincere. We know that they wanted to make a difference in this person's life. And so they went in and they put Jesus before him. And so what they're demonstrating is faith. And you know, today, seeing this room, I can tell you that every single one of you, including myself, have faith. Now, where your faith is, I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to tell you, my faith is in Christ most of the time. I'm going to be honest with you. If I was perfect and my faith was always in Christ, I would be doing everything the Word of God says as I've learned it. But you know what? There are times when I'm not doing everything. And I have to wrestle with God. And he hadn't touched my sinew yet and made me walk with a limp yet, like he did Jacob. But I wrestle sometimes, the flesh and the spirit. Some people have faith in themselves, and so they follow their hearts. How many times you heard that expression, follow your heart? That used to be a good expression. When I was a young person, I liked it. Follow your heart. Whatever you desire, what are your dreams? That's what you need to do. That's false teaching from the devil. Some have faith in their knowledge. And you can look at that with all the degrees they have. You know, some people go to college most of their life. I knew a fellow that went to college, got his doctorate. This was in North Carolina. He lived out in the country across from my grandfather. And he went back and lived at his house. It was a little bitty shack with his mom, wearing coveralls. He didn't do anything. No work. Nothing. He had a doctor's degree. Not a doctor as a medical doctor, but a doctorate. He's one of those people that had maybe faith in their knowledge. I don't know. Some have faith in their abilities. Everybody wants to be number one. How many people can be number one? I mean, come on. There's a group of us that are number one. You can hone it down. Who said six? Jim said six? Okay, there's Jim again. We got to watch Jim. You know, he's a little. It could be 10, Jim. I don't know. It depends on how you define number one and where it's at. But the fact is, you can only be number one in one thing. And really, there's nobody that's number one other than God. Nobody. You think, I'm number one today. Maybe someone said that. But you know, there's somebody that's gone before you or come after you that's going to be better than you. I don't care who you are. God is the only one who's number one, right? So we put faith in our abilities. See what I've built. See what I've done. Some put faith in what the world tells them. You can be all you want to be. You know, that is a lie. I cannot be all the things that the world has to offer. I can't be Michael Jordan and play basketball like Michael Jordan. I don't care how much I practiced, I would never ever attain to being like Michael Jordan. First off, I can't stick my tongue out that long. I mean, you know, he jumped from the foul line all the way up to the basket, hanging his tongue out. I can't do that. But I can't even dunk a basketball. There's a lot of things I can't do. There's a lot of things I cannot do no matter how hard I think. You know what? It'd be nice to be 6 foot. Isn't that right, Rob, Greg, you guys, 6 foot? It's nice, isn't it? Just like everything else. See, from my perspective, it'd be nice. From theirs, well, maybe they could be a little shorter. I don't know. But, and that's the way people are anyway, right? Whatever you are, you want to be something else, whatever it is. If you're tall, you want to be short. If you're short, you want to be tall. If you're fat, you want to be skinny. If you're skinny, you'd like to put on a little weight. I don't know. But anyway, so, but the fact is, I can't sit there and go, Lord, make me 6 foot tomorrow. And then wake up and the next morning, wow, I can't fit into none of my clothes. I'm 6 foot today. Hadn't happened, has it? Won't happen. I can't be everything that I think I can be. So we need to find out what we can put our faith in and what is going to last. Psalm 118, 8 and 9 says, it is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust the Lord than put confidence in princes. And look, I don't know about you, but I have failed people many times. People have failed me many times. What am I saying? Well, I'll do this. And then they don't do it. God will never fail you. We're human. We're going to fail. But God will not. And so here, the four friends, in their heart, they believe that this man called Jesus can do something for their friend. They believe it so much that they're willing to climb on the roof of the house. They're willing to take the tiles apart and lower him before Jesus. Can you imagine the people saying stuff? The Pharisees probably were looking at him and saying, what are these jerks doing? They think something's going to happen here? What is this, a magic show? What's going on here, you know? And other people looking around go, oh, wow, what's going on here? But here we see these faithful friends as they bring their friend with sick of the palsy. And as we're looking through our passage in verse 20, we see the mighty Messiah. And really, this is where our faith needs to be. There's a lot of lessons in this passage, but this is where our focus needs to be. It says, and when he saw, what's that next word? There. That's plural, isn't it? And my English might be a little off. I don't know. I think it's plural. When he saw their faith. Now, maybe he included the man that's in the bed. I don't know. But I know he definitely included the four that brought him. When he saw their faith, it says, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven. Now, it's easy to say that, isn't it? It's easy to say, your sins are forgiven. That's easy to say. And the Pharisees, in their mind, they're looking at that. Who can forgive sins but God? He's speaking blasphemy because he's speaking as God. Well, the fact was, the Lord was present that day. The Bible says that. He was right there. God was there. And they didn't see it. And so here are these four men that brought this one down, and the Lord said their faith, because, or that he saw their faith. He said, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." And so the Pharisees and the scribes, they objected to this. They didn't think this was right. And of course, according to the Levitical law, they were right. In Leviticus chapter 24, verse 16, he says, "And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death." So in their mind, that's exactly what Jesus had just done. But because of their blindness to the Spirit of God and the things of God, because they were living according to the law and not according to God, they could not see or understand that the Lord was present. There are many people today that cannot see that the Lord is present. There, people have already made up their mind there is no God. This place just happened because of a big bang. You know, it takes more faith, because there's no real evidence, to believe that this earth is a billion years old. I don't know where you can get the proof. I don't know how you get the proof. You know, they say the stratus of the rocks and stuff prove it, because those are different times. So why is there a tree standing up in the middle of that thing, and it's like 15 layers, and all those are supposed to add up to years? Is that tree that old? Don't think so. You know, as a tree gets and starts to rot, it falls over, doesn't it? But this tree, it happened in a flood. It was instantaneously. And everything in those layers happened because probably of the weight of those things and how the water moved through those things and how the mud slid through those things. It is not something that happened over billions of years. But a lot of people think that way. They don't believe in God. And the Pharisees, in their mind, they were just misdirected because they couldn't see Jesus. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 and 7 says, "The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant, his goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation.'" Why did you mention that? Well, they thought in their mind, again, it's only God who can forgive sins. Not realizing that Jesus was God. But Jesus, it doesn't say Jesus heard them speak. It says Jesus perceived their thoughts. Boy, if someone told me something that I had said to somebody else and wasn't within earshot, in other words, if Rob was back there whispering to somebody next to him, we can't. If he was, and I knew what he said, wouldn't that make you think that there's something different about me? I think it would make me think there's something different about me, or something different about Rob. I don't know which it is. But nonetheless, Jesus perceived their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking in their heart. In Matthew 15:18 says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." He knew their very thoughts. Psalm 94:11. "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity." And he asked whether it's easy to say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Rise up and walk." Which is easier? And so what he did when he said, "Forgive thy sins," those words he just mentioned, then he goes around and says, "Arise, take up thy bed or thy couch, and go into thy house." And so the guy sat there, and his four friends sat there and said, "Okay, come on. Come on, let's get out of that bed. Come on, I know how sick you are. I know it's difficult, but we can do this." And one got behind one of his shoulders, the other guy got the other, and they got next to his legs and hips, and they started to rotate him out of that bed, and they set his feet on the floor, and they stood him up and said, "Okay, now take your couch with you and go." Didn't happen that way, did it? The Bible says immediately. When the Lord does the work in a person's life, it can be immediate. When the Lord teaches us something in the Word of God, it ought to be immediate. Right? He demonstrates the power. And that's how we know the power of God is in our lives, is when we obey Him, when we learn something, a new principle, a new precept, or something that thus saith the Lord, we say, okay, Lord, I got it, and do it. Now, you might have some struggles doing it because we're just learning this new thing. It's like getting a new washing machine and throwing away the instructions. Or getting a basketball hoop and reading the instructions and not reading them right. I mean, you know, it's something you're going to have to start learning and growing in. But you take the first step immediately. If you're lost, you put your faith and trust in Christ immediately when you hear the words. If you're saved and you're trying to live for Christ and you know there's things in your life you're not doing right, you do it immediately. Why? You demonstrate the faith. And when you demonstrate the faith, God is going to give you the power to do what He asked you to do. I've heard Christians say, well, I can't do that. And that's true. You can't. And why is it? Because you don't have the power of Christ in your life. Because Paul said it best, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe that. I don't always practice it. But that's what we want to learn, is to do that. Practice what the Bible teaches so we can be what God wants us to be. Jesus demonstrated His power and His deity right there. In verse 24 it says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man, this is the first time Son of Man is mentioned here, hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up whereon he lay and departed his own house, glorifying God. So here's a man that couldn't do anything. Four friends brought him, and because of their faith, his maybe too, collectively, they lowered him down. Jesus saw their faith, and he told them, your sins are forgiven, spiritually healed. And then arise and take thy couch, physically healed. I'm telling you, there's power in the blood. There's power in trusting Christ. There's power in living for God. It makes a difference, and it makes you different than the world. Can you imagine all those people in that room that day? He couldn't come in. They could not get him in there. How do you think he got out of there? That's right. So he took his couch, picked it up. Now, maybe he had help. It doesn't say. But he took it, and I'm assured they went out the door. They didn't go back up through the roof, I bet. And I bet you those people parted out of the way in awe, awestruck at the power of Jesus Christ and what He just did. I would be. And that's what He did on October 26, 1992 for me. He did that very thing. That night, He told me to rise and to walk. Arise in the power of Christ and walk in the power of Christ. Go live the life I've called you to live. It makes a difference. This morning, I want to challenge you. If you've never been saved, if you've never understood the gospel, and you still, maybe you don't understand it now, I'd love for you to come to me or talk to somebody else and just say, hey, how can I know? Can you convince me in the Bible? And I'll tell you what, I'll show you some verses, but I'm not going to be the one that convinces you. It'll be the Spirit of God. And if He speaks to you, you can put your faith and trust in Christ, and you too can arise up and you can begin the walk that God's called you to do. But what if you're a Christian? Well, I've already been risen. We know, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Well, whenever that old things passed away, sometimes we hang on to it. I don't know about you, but sometimes I got like a ball and chain on my leg and a bag here, a baggage that I carry around. And I'm going like this. I'm living the Christian life. Oh, yeah. I'm still. But all this sin and all this weight, it's a problem. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about that, doesn't it? The weight and the sin. So we too need to walk in the power of Christ. That ball and chain can be taken off in the power of Christ. That baggage of sin can be let go in the power of Christ. And God can do something miraculous in our lives. There are people out there that need somebody to go knock on their door and tell them about Jesus. You say, but they're not going to accept me. They're not denying you. They're denying Christ. That's who they're denying. We are the messengers. We have that. Maybe, well, I don't want to do that because I can't do that. I said, why don't you get three other people and go somewhere and go knock on the door together? Now, that's a little overwhelming. You see four people coming at your door knocking on it and say, bang, bang, bang. Hey, we want to talk to you. Get out of here. But take somebody with you and start being true friends to those that are lost. I'm not talking about hunting buddies to go out and go hunting with all the time that are lost. That's not what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to be out there telling them about Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with hunting with them, but make sure the reason you're hunting there is so you take the opportunity to express to them how Jesus can change their lives. Because they're sick with a palsy. The palsy of sin. And I'll tell you something. If something were to happen to them today, without Christ, they would spend eternity in hell. And that can be on us. That can be on us. Why? Because we got the message. We got to get it out. And that's the only way people are going to know. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's what these guys did, in essence. They went and took this guy. They believed that Jesus could do something. They lowered him down. And that day he was physically healed and spiritually healed. And his life was changed forevermore. Your life was changed forevermore the day you put your faith and trust in Jesus. What about somebody else? You know, somebody prayed for you. Somebody shared the gospel with you. Somebody helped you grow as you started learning about being a Christian. There are people that have no idea. And there are people that do, but that's okay. They need to hear it again. I had to hear it for years and years and years and years, and you can add a few more there, before I ever put my faith and trust in Christ. I spent years in church, going to church, before I put my faith and trust in Christ. Don't give up. These guys were persistent. They went on the roof and took the tiles and lowered them down. Be persistent in your Christian life. Be consistent in your witness and testimony. It will make a difference. Because it's through the power of Christ. You know, the Lord was present. He's in us. And if we're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ closely, He's in us. And He can give us the strength to do what He asks us to do. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank You for Your word. We thank You for the opportunity to be here. We know that each one of us, we struggle. I can admit to you that I struggle. Just like Paul said, there are things that I should do and don't. There are things that I shouldn't do that I do. And Father, my heart is that I want to do right all the time. But the truth that lieth in me would say that is not correct. And Father, as I've asked You many times to forgive me and to redirect me and help me, I pray today that would be all our hearts in this room this morning. Maybe somebody here knows there's a problem in their life. They're really struggling, not really dealing with it biblically. Maybe today they would just come forward, bow a knee, and say, Lord, this is my problem. And Lord, I need Your help. Would You help me, guide me, and direct me? And I can trust, if you'll trust by faith, that He will do exactly what He says. Father, help us all. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.